Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. I'll continue this evening on the theme of mindfulness of breathing and move into the last tetrad of the from the discourse on mindfulness of breathing. And this it's the last tetrad of the 16 stages of mindfulness of breathing is really about the, it sort of lines up with the, in terms of the four foundations of mindfulness, it lines up with the Dhammanupassana section of the Satipatthana, the last section of the Satipatthana, and concerning the mental states, aspects of insight in particular. So that this is in a certain way is a culmination of the foundations that we've been laying in the mindfulness of breathing. That the say, in terms of the whole structure of the Buddha's teachings, it culminates in insight, culminates in understanding. The whole purpose of the path of practice in the Buddha's teachings is to bring us to a point of insight and understanding. And you know, all of the foundation that we lay is very essential, but it's good to recognize that it is for a purpose. And there's many discourses that the Buddha talks about these different aspects of, say, laying a foundation of a path. But it's for a particular goal. They say one of the famous discourses, of course, is the discourse on the raft. The simile of the raft, where the one is on say on this shore, which is dangerous, is fraught with difficulty, and one builds a raft with whatever is at hand. Sticks and twigs and branches and things that float, ties them together, and through the strength of one's arms and legs goes across the water and gets to the other shore, which is a shore of safety. And you know, one leaves the raft at that at that shore and goes up onto the bank in a place of safety. And the Buddha gives that as a, say the say the this shore being the that dukkha, and crossing the water, the expanse of water, as being the path of practice of training, and being able to reach the other shore of Nibbana. So that there's this, one creates say this path and relies on it, depends on it, in order to get across to a place of safety. And same in, say, the Anapanasati, laying these foundations of mindfulness of the breath, mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of the body, feelings of the mind, and of the aspects of insight. These are the they're a part of the, say, the path that we're having to rely on. There's another discourse where the Buddha goes through the various aspects of the training, and saying that, well, this is not, say, this is not the what it's all about. It's in the sense of it's not for gain, honor, and fame. It's not for the benefits of virtue and goodness. It's not for the benefits of mindfulness and clear comprehension. It's not for the benefits of samadhi and peace. It's not for the benefits of insight and wisdom even, but it's for the sure heart's release. And but that insight, you know, is obviously playing a role in the in this path, this progression of training. And it builds on these other aspects. So that we're in the mindfulness of breathing, we've been laying this foundation of peace, of mindfulness, of a degree of understanding of how the feelings and mind actually work. Now it's time to sort of turn and shine the light of insight onto the process of breathing and the process of being attentive to breathing, attending to the breath. So that the first quality to be attentive to is the quality of impermanence. Investigating impermanence, I breathe in. Investigating impermanence, I breathe out. So, starting to take this characteristic of impermanence as the basis for investigation, attending closely to the quality of change. And the breath is an obvious candidate for investigating impermanence, because it is always changing. We're always having to breathe in and breathe out. We can't just sort of decide to stop breathing so that we don't have to bother with things. And impermanence is it's how things actually function, worry. Everything is impermanent. Everything is changing. The elements of insight are, I mean, say impermanence is the first one that we are attentive to. And this whole section can sort of be encompasses all of the other aspects of the say characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta, the impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, non-self, aspects that are the heart of the vipassana, the insight practice. So that and impermanence is kind of the doorway in, and tends to be the more common or the more predominant, the more noticeable characteristic. But as soon as you start investigating impermanence, then you start recognizing that the other qualities are folded into that. You know, the reason why, on a certain level, the reason why things are unsatisfactory is because they change, they become something other, they become something else. You can't ever make it stable so that it will always satisfy, be there for you. You just can't have you can't have a permanent condition. And you can't sort of make things be stable. You know, if we had that power. And that's a sort of the sense of not self. You know, the reason why things are not self is because we don't really have the power to make things be stable. Therefore, we're not really in control. And this is an aspect of the say, when we talk about the insight into that constitutes the insight into or characterizes the insight into entering the stream of Dhamma. The yang kinche samudaya dhammang sabantang nirodha dhammang, which whatever has the nature to arise, that has the nature to cease. And this is the insight that when we talk about somebody who has entered the stream, has had the insight that sort of makes that shift from the worldly realm into the realm of transcendence and liberation. That is the characteristic. Whatever is of the nature to arise, that is of the nature to cease. So that is an insight into impermanence. But it's also maybe it's important to recognize that it's a bit more profound than that, in that one is also recognizing the conditioned nature of things. That seeing as a part of that insight into impermanence is also the recognition that how conditioned everything is. And everything exists because of conditions, whatever is of the nature to arise, that has the nature to cease, whatever. So this the nature of conditioning, all things are dependent on conditions. And because they're dependent on conditions, then they're always fraught with, say, contradictory conditions being very much a part of that. So there's always this tension involved, and the tension is dukkha, and the tension is suffering, the tension of wanting to be gratified and satisfied, but then things always falling apart, changing. Wanting to be happy and content and peaceful, but that relies on so many conditions that it's always just sort of out of one's grasp. There's always some other condition that's part of that. That sets up a dissonance, and that is the nature of unsatisfactoriness, of dukkha. And we're always trying to perfect things. We always want things perfect, so that we're always suffering. That's not news. We know that, but the response is always, well, if only I could get it right, or I must have it wrong somehow. So we neglect to sort of recognize that inherent unsatisfactoriness, the inherent dukkha factor, so that we get stuck on this shore with danger, difficulty, and dukkha, and that impermanence is also, say the reason why the anicca, also that non-self is a part of that, because that which is impermanent, changing, dependent on conditions, it is just that. It is completely dependent on conditions. There is no independent quality of self, of me, of mine, that is able to be separated out from that and can be independent. It's just not possible. And that's very liberating, it's very freeing to sort of recognize that. Because there's the feeling, the feeling of the ordinary unenlightened being is that there is some sort of independent me or self, or me the watcher, me the observer, me the experiencer, me the controller and commander of things. And when that me is trying to be in control, then that me is suffering miserably. But that's seeing that whatever is of the nature to arise, that is of the nature to cease. That also enfolds the